the date, Thursday, November 15th, 2007. The scene, the East Room of the White House. The speaker, President George Bush, who said,
"We've gathered a group of distinguished people here to give the National Medals of the Arts and the National Humanities Medals for these folks who've made great contributions to art, music, theater, writing, history, and general scholarship. And one of those luminaries there in the East Room who received the National Medal of the Arts was our buddy Les Paul. Hi, Lester.
Hi, doll. How you doing?
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Les.
Oh, man, what a day. What a wonderful day.
So at 10 o'clock this morning, you were there in the East Room. And what did it feel like when you got in there and the president and the first lady got together and they gave out these awards? And
let me read a little bit of what the president said specifically about Les Paul. He said the 2007 National Medal of Arts to Les Paul for his innovations as a musician, his pioneering designs of the electric guitar, and his groundbreaking recording techniques that have influenced the development of American jazz, blues, and pop music and inspired generations of guitarists."
Woo!
All
yay!
Right, Les.
The crowd went wild.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it just was so exciting and so wonderful.
Now, is it really a gold medal that they give you?
Oh, boy, it's heavy, and it's large, and it's beautiful.
Is it heavier than your guitar?
It was just great. And he was great.
Are you going to wear that medal at the Club Iridium on Monday night in New York City?
I guess so. I might do that.
Well, you know, Les, it would look great because you're known for your turtlenecks.
Yeah.
It would look very good.
Well, thank you.
And wasn't it a pleasure to go to the White House, to be called into the White House and not have to work? Because isn't it true that you have played the White House since what president?
I played for Franklin D. Roosevelt, and after our event, he says, "Tell me more about what happened with FDR. And I says, "I remember we did our little personal playing for the president after the show. President Roosevelt asked me if I would do him a favor. And he says, "Would you take that electric guitar and your toaster, meaning my amp, and take it downstairs and we'll have a little party, a private party." And I says, "I'm not quite sure of the room, but I'd know it if I saw it." And so he ordered some people there to guide me down there. And I said, "There's the room." And that's the very room that our president uses to do his chats.
Really?
Wow, where the fireside chats were with the FDR.
Exactly. Same room.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh. So when President Bush and his people take you in there, boom, it all came back to you.
Yeah, and the books, I was very anxious to go over and see what kind of books they were reading and everything. So we took pictures of it.
Mm.
When we develop it, we'll look at the pictures.
So there are some pictures of you with President Bush?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We took a lot of, maybe 400 or 500 pictures.
Oh, my gosh.
And wow. And he says, "I'm going to see that you get the whole show."
Uh-huh. Wow.
Oh, that's wonderful, Les.
All the other people, yeah.
Now,
he asked me, he says, "How you doing?" I says, "I'm hungry."
Well, did they feed you at the White House?
Yeah. And he laughed. He said something about welcome to the White House. And I said, well, I've been here before. I was here with Franklin D.
Oh, my gosh. Now, did you subsequently have the opportunity to play for presidents like Kennedy and Johnson, Nixon?
Wasn't there an interesting incident? Was it with President Eisenhower?
Yes.
Where the request came up? Did you want to explain that story, Les?
Oh, sure. Well, I played for President Eisenhower and Vice President Nixon. They didn't know that I had the Les Pulverizer, which was my newest invention, and something that even Mary, it was the first time that I tried it. I tried it for some Boy Scouts that have a Boy Scout camp right here where I live,
mm-hmm.
right up the road. And I tried it, and it failed. And so I got a call from Vice President Nixon that the president would love to have you come down and play for him Sunday. And I told Mary, and Mary says, you're not going to bring that gadget, are you? And I says, Mary, believe me, it's going to be okay. And so we went down to the F Club in Washington. And it was Brownell's farewell dinner, and we're playing, and Nixon whispered in my ear. He was playing the piano along with us, and we were fooling around. And he says, why don't you ask the president if he has a favorite song? And this was right in the middle of what was going great with my tapes and everything hidden and my invention, the pulverizer, where I could control all the things that I recorded from my guitar. And lo and behold, Nixon came up, whispered in my ear, would you mind asking the president what his favorite song is? So I said, that would be a good idea, Ollie. and I said, to myself, I'm saying, I'll never vote for Nixon.
Teach him to embarrass me, right?
He's going to blow my ass right here. And Mary was scared, and I was concerned. And so I said, Mr. President, do you have a favorite song that we could play for you? And he says, well, The Eyes of Texas. And I says, oh, that's great. We can do that. And so we did that. Then he said, Mamie is really the one that knows the songs. And so I said to Mrs. Eisenhower, do you have a favorite song that you'd like to hear? And she says, hon, do you remember, meaning speaking to her husband, Eisenhower? And she says, Ike, you remember when we were coming down the mountain from Denver, and you had pains in your chest, and we pulled off the side of the road, and the radio was playing Maya Candidas. And she says, we cried. Would you play that number for us? And so help me God, it was the next number on the tape.
Oh, wow.
So that gave you reason to believe in a higher power, Les.
I got a letter from them, one from Pat, one from Nixon, and one from Eisenhower. And all of them were saying they didn't know how I could possibly do that.
Right.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And then to be back at the White House, Was there anything that you noticed, any major changes, or did the White House look the same to you, or what were you struck by when you first walked into the White House again?
It looked almost identical. There was some changes, they said, that they had made, but we were in just one part of it, of the White House, and so, you know, the Capitol White House. There's a east and a west wing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so where we happened to be, they changed the room because there were so many people that there were more than they expected. And so it was just the most thrilling thing to be there and see the person and how tall he was and how whether he was reading his script or whether he was ad-libbing it. And he read everything.
Mm-hmm. Well,
exactly the way I got it, way I read it. Out off the computer.
Right.
Exactly word for word.
Uh-huh. I would imagine these days it would have been difficult for you to get the Les Pulverizer past all the security people.
Oh, boy, the security is real strict. And it was quite a time to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And to get out of there, it's maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Mm. Wow.
They do a very, very thorough search.
Do they actually pat you down before you go in to...
Oh, yes.
To be in the presence of the president?
Not in the presence of him, no.
Okay.
But when he comes in... Mm-hmm. By the way, his favorite, when I said I'm hungry... He humorously said to one of his aides to take me to the kitchen. But in that kitchen, that's out of bounds. And I'll be darned if I didn't get in the kitchen and meet the cook, and he's from New Jersey.
Oh, my gosh.
He plays guitar.
Really?
Yeah, he loves the guitar, and so... I says, what's the president's favorite food? And he says, he loves peanut butter and jelly. And I says, does he sneak down here often? He says, very often.
That's a great story.
Took pictures with the cook.
Oh. We're talking with Les Paul, who's the recipient of the 2007 National Medal of Arts, was at the White House on Thursday. Les, did you know any of the other people who were also receiving the award?
Yes, Henry Steinway.
Oh, of course.
Mm.
His brother gave me a piano in 1952 when my offices were in the Steinway building.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought a Steinway piano, and Fred saw that it was tuned and all, you know, one of the real goodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have it in my home here. And today I said to Henry Steinway, I says, I've got something I've got to tell you. I says, Gibson bought Baldwin. And he says, oh, I know that. He says, I know that. And I says, did you know that they make a Les Paul Baldwin? And he says, you're kidding. And I says, no. But I says, I don't have it here. I says, I left it there. It's in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I left it there because I love my Steinway.
Oh, how sweet.
In fact, when Gibson first took over Baldwin, didn't they do a whole thing where you autographed some Baldwin pianos, didn't you?
100.
Oh, my gosh.
100, and it took me about 2 hours, and they'd just bring me that faceplate,
mm-hmm.
and I would write my name on each one of those, and I had about 5 guys trained By the end of the 2 hours, we were zipping.
Well, we just wanted to talk with you and say congratulations. It is an award, obviously, well deserved, Les.
Forget that. The main thing is that you're so nice, and I appreciate it.
Well, you know, we love you dearly. We were so happy for you. We thought about you being at the White House this, on Thursday morning. And now you're back home. You're back in New Jersey, and you're going to be at work at the Club Iridium on Monday night, right?
Exactly, hon.
Okay. No messing around. None of this partying for the rest of the weekend.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right. Thank you, Les. Take care of
yourself. Have a great Thanksgiving, Les.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye, hon. Bye.